Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. Guess what I did this morning?
What?
I worked out.
Okay, you're not fucking special. I work out, too. And that's what we're deep diving into today, so don't get all high and fucking mighty about it.
Fine.
Even though I did not work out this morning.
Mm.
But I do work out. I work out. Before we get into the deep dive about all of the terribleness of working out so hard that every pore in my body exudes liquid discharge, we've got worst things first, the worst news of the week. You know it, the segment where I go through the weirdest news of the week. And finally, we've got one of my favorite people, Larry Owens, in the studio. Larry is a singer, comedian, incredible Oprah impersonator. We have so much shit to talk about. I feel like it's cliche when people are like, know this name because he'll be big. But I feel like Larry
oh,
will like
happen.
Dominate all of us. So all of that and more coming up. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. First, a man was arrested in España, that's how the locals say it, after causing a terror alert because he tried to win his ex back with a pineapple stuffed with nails and pins.
Wait, win her back or harm her secretly?
There's so much to unpack here. Honestly, the entire episode is going to be about this story. It's very
fantastic.
It's very on brand.
I know, Pineapple. Yeah. Pineapple Street Media. We don't do this to any of our clients.
So passersby saw this guy like praying next to a pineapple that was in a black cloth next to a railroad in Alicante, Spain.
Cool.
Anyway, so people were like, I don't know what is happening here. They called the police, and the police activated the terror protocol. So they shut down all the trains. Turns out the pineapple was part of a love spell that the man was using to convince his ex to take him back, undump him.
I see. He was not presenting the pineapple to her. He was praying over it to create some sort of energy to bring her back.
Chose like a railroad,
yeah.
Probably like the worst place. He told police he was into esotericism. Sure. And he searched how to create a love spell on the internet. And the spell evidently involved hollowing out a pineapple and filling it with nails, pins, coffee beans, grapes, two pieces of paper, and black and red seeds.
Any black and red seeds?
No, they were from a jacuri bean plant.
This is a tough one for you.
And the seeds are banned in Spain because if you eat like one of them, it could kill you.
Cool.
So he just has this pineapple full of like killer beans, killer seeds. He's casting a spell on it next to a railroad. And the police are like, what are you doing? Also, the two pieces of paper, one of them had his ex-girlfriend's name on it. The other one had his ex-girlfriend's mom's name on it and, like, her new boyfriend. So it's unclear, like, if this spell is a positive spell or a negative spell. I'm just so confused as to, like...
But also, take note. You're dating now, Matt. You got to get up on this. You got to buy a bunch of pineapples. You got to fill them with a bunch of seeds.
So, yeah, I do. Honestly, I'm all about it. I'm all about casting spells on people. Next! I'm just going to read this lead directly from the site that it came from. It's from globalnews.ca. I guess that's a Canadian.
That's Canadian, yeah. Yep.
Police in Alabama said a brawl over crab legs broke out at a buffet restaurant, leading to plates being smashed on the floor and two people using serving tongs like fencing swords to battle it out over the delicious sea meat. It's really the last three. Delicious sea meat is the cherry on top of that sentence.
Next time you take a picture in the ocean, that's
delicious
your caption.
Sea meat. What happened was a restaurant in Alabama, a buffet restaurant, people were waiting in line because the restaurant was refilling the crab meat. They ran out of crab legs and they were waiting for them to refill it. And they'd been waiting for, like, reports say between 10 and 20 minutes. So, like, basically forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody started getting antsy and people started being like, oh, they cut me, he cut me, like, I was here first. And then the crab meat comes out and it's like, why people start taking too much? And you're like, I've been waiting here forever. And then now you're taking all of the crab meat. And then these two people, this old man and this woman with her children, got into like a physical fight.
Of course they did.
Plates crashing. And then apparently they started using tongs as fencing swords.
I mean, that makes sense. What else around the buffet area are you going to use?
A knife.
Okay, but I don't know if they... Well, okay.
A crab leg?
That's true, but maybe they didn't get to them yet.
I've always dreamt of, like, having to fight someone for my food. Like, Hunger Games style.
Yeah.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Both people could end up paying a few $100 in fines, well above the $10.58 per plate charge at Meteor Buffet. Next! I'm just going to read this one again also, because This is from the New York Daily News. If the salsa tastes particularly tangy, don't ask what the secret ingredient is.
Oh, God.
Tennessee delivery man Howard Webb is accused of placing his testicles into a salsa container that was then delivered to a customer in January. And he put it on Facebook. If I understand the story correctly, this guy was a passenger in a car for some type of food delivery service. They got mad because the person only gave an 89-cent tip for an almost 30-minute drive, is what they said. And the guy was like, I guess I'll just dip my balls in their salsa and record it and put it on Facebook, which he did. And now he was arrested for fucking with food because it's a felony. I don't know if that was a felony.
Yeah. I feel like anything's a felony these days.
I feel like I might be at risk.
Yeah.
I've put my fingers in some stuff.
Whoa.
Did I? I guess this woman just ate the salsa, right? Because she didn't know.
Yeah.
Listen, we've all seen Waiting with Ryan Reynolds or whoever it is. Next! A 67-year-old woman in Louisiana. Some of these are sad this week. She said that her pet llama attacked her.
Oh, no.
I know. Horrible, right? She was just working in her pasture, but she managed to escape. And then she did the same thing, which was go get a gun and then return and shoot her fucking llama.
No.
Good news. The llama survived.
Okay. Okay.
The police were like, okay, you're totally right to defend yourself. But once you left the pasture, you were not in danger anymore. So to just fucking return with a vengeance, like, who, why are you trying to, like, Liam Neeson your own llama?
Jesus.
This woman was like, I have a very particular set of skills. Then she fucking shot her own llama. And now he's being taken care of. I was trying to look. Latest news that I found, I didn't see anything that said that it was dead. It was recovering.
Okay.
He was treated for a fractured rib and gunshot wounds.
Ooh.
Earl the llama.
Oh,
please send
Earl.
Great vibes to Earl the llama.
Positive vibes, guys.
And the woman was arrested and charged with animal cruelty. Good bitch. And finally, rescue workers were called in the German town of Beschheim. I think that's how you say it.
Sure.
Because a chubby rat was stuck halfway out of a manhole. The number of people who alerted us to this story.
So many. Every single one of you.
It was kind of like a viral story on Twitter. So there's a manhole, right?
Mm-hmm.
A sewer.
A butt.
And it has a bunch of little tiny openings in it.
Uh-huh.
And this rat was too fat. And he tried to get through and he got stuck. And then people were like, we need to rescue this rat. And it took like a whole rescue team. One of the rescuers said, excuse me, I cannot believe I misgendered this rat. I'm so sorry. She had a lot of winter flab and was stuck fast at her hip. There was no going forward or back. Same.
If this happened in New York, someone would have just brought out a hammer and done a live whack-a-mole. Just like calling the police to save this rat is really not American.
Yesterday I was walking down the street and I saw what I thought at first was like just tiny dog poops. And then closer I got, I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was just like a scattering of rat babies.
Oh, no.
I didn't say, I was like, I just kind of like caught a glimpse of it, but I'm pretty sure I saw a foot. And it was like, Anyway, so a fairly large rescue operation ensued, and some people were like, why are we spending so much effort to save a sewer rat? And
great
so
that, question.
To them, I say, fuck you.
Okay.
Why is your life more important than that rat?
What did you have for dinner last night?
Chicken.
Yeah. Get off your freaking high horse. High horse.
With the help of a full team of firefighters, the manhole cover was lifted and propped on wedges while the rescuer popped the rotund rat free. I love it. Anyway, if that's not a metaphor for my life, I don't know what is. Just a fat rat stuck in a manhole cover waiting to be rescued.
You know what that rat could have used? A little exercise.
Oh, transition. Because that is it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into working out. Body odor. Treadmill. Sweaty balls. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. So, as most of you know, I've been twerking on my fitness.
Yeah, you have.
Which, I'm a pasty white person from the Midwest, so I'm absolutely allowed to say that. But I hate it. I hate all of it. Working out is the devil. It just brings out a terribleness in me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do want to talk about the worst parts of working out. First, I'm just supposed to know what all of these fucking machines do. I hate when people take videos of people in the gym, like, using machines wrong. And sometimes I get it because some people are using them in, like, a hilariously wrong way. Like, that old man shouldn't be, like, hanging upside down from a rowing machine. But also, like, there's no goddamn instructions.
It's just, like, two pictures. It's, like, when you sit down, one, I know how to sit, and then the finished product of what it should look like. But I don't know how to get there.
Right. It's like where there's missing pages.
You need video manuals.
Sorry, we're not all fucking American Ninja Warriors, okay? Not all of us are like, not all of us are fucking protein chomping chads who are just born with the Bowflex instruction manual seared into our roided brains. Also, fuck the Bowflex. Do you remember those commercials?
Of course I do.
They absolutely made me gay. Not that I'm mad at that. But next, working out is too expensive. I just want muscles with absolutely zero effort or money spent. You join a gym and they're like, okay, it's $200 a month just for you to walk in the door. But also, good luck figuring out what the fuck to do because you look like you struggle with basic tasks. But we can help you out. It'll just cost you $200 an hour. And by the looks of it, you're going to need at least every single day for 2 hours. So it's like, great, I guess I'll just add you as a joint owner of my bank account and you can just take what you want.
Great.
I remember I joined the gym. We literally lived across where they built a gym across the street from our house. My mom and I joined. This was when I was like in high school. And I remember we joined and then they sat us down because they give you one free personal training session. And they sat us down and tried to convince us to buy more sessions. And the man was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, if you don't get this, you like probably get diabetes. Like, he basically said that to both of us. I was like, whoa, you're taking a hard stance. You are opening up with very hard negotiations. You're like, no, thank you. Also, we worked out for like 20 minutes and my body ached for 2 weeks. Yeah. I couldn't walk up the stairs. So he did his job, but also broke my spirit. Also, what happened to just sweating to the oldies? Am I right?
You're very right.
My mom used to have a VHS tape of Richard Simmons. We would just watch it like a movie.
Yeah. No, it's a great time. In college, I
did
Zumba.
Not even just like on the couch.
Yeah, no.
You just watch it.
Yeah, you just watch it.
Also, sweating is bad. Controversial opinion, I know. But sweating is disgusting.
It's so
gross.
It makes me
feel like a sock that like stepped into a deep snow puddle. I just hate all the like inspirational accounts on Instagram that are like, just love the sweat. There's like a dedicated thing about how like you have to love sweating.
No.
It's horrible. Absolutely
you shower
not.
To get rid of all of it.
I sweat enough without exerting myself in any meaningful. Why would I seek it out? Why would I do that to myself on purpose?
Being in this hot ass studio counts as our 30 minutes of cardio today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, every workout machine should have a built-in fan that you can just turn on so you can live your Beyonce life while you work out. I'm seconds away from bringing my own battery-operated fan to the gym. I'm not joking. Why don't they? Also, you just, like, keep sweating for, like, an hour after you're done?
Even after you shower.
I don't like that.
That's my least favorite part.
Yeah.
It should stop once you hit the shower. Or once the machine stops.
Also, workout clothes are A, too expensive, and B, scientifically absurd.
Except for Outdoor Voices, and you can get a code for Outdoor Voices if you listen back a couple of episodes.
Moisture wicking fabric? How does it wick? How does it wick? What does wicking even mean? Magic. It's magic. That's what it is. These shirts are made by witches. Also, like, obviously, yeah, you don't have to buy official workout clothes, but also there's always like one old man at the gym wearing a shirt that's just like a rag, like falling apart. And it shows like every drop of sweat in deep contrast to the color of the shirt. It's like, just get a moisture wicker, sir. Next! There are too many fad workouts, and I'm too susceptible of a person to resist them. There's now a concerted effort happening from multiple fronts to convince me to do SoulCycle.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. I've done it once. Do you like going to a club?
No, I've never been to a gym in New York.
No, do you like going to clubs?
Oh, like a discotheque?
Yes. Do you enjoy being around a lot of sweaty people? Where not a safe queer space, by the way. A bunch of sweaty, angry straights. There's loud, loud music and someone is yelling at you. They ask for your name so they can yell at you. Maybe it's for motivating purposes, but for me, it was just crushing.
I think I've also, I've heard from some people that say it's super gay. So I think it depends on who the person
class
is.
And yeah.
But I don't know. I think I fear the part of me that I think would like it. And I feel like there are multiple people cracking me right now. They're wearing me down. And I think I'm going to eventually give in. We'll see. I mean, eventually, we're going to do a whole deep dive just about SoulCycle after I fucking do it. We'll see. I'm trying to resist.
Should Matt go to SoulCycle? Tweet at us. Yes or no?
Plus, everybody in the gym is so judgmental. Just stop making eye contact with me. Focus on your own fucking thing. I don't like being judged.
I don't like mirrors being around.
Yeah, there are a lot of mirrors.
Because then people will look at you through the mirrors. It's like, I know what you're doing.
I have been trying to find a trainer because I want to do things right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I just do the elliptical because I'm a 40-year-old divorced mother of three who like pours a hit of vodka into her coffee in the morning. And I feel like people are always looking at me like, oh, you're on the elliptical? That doesn't do shit.
Did you sweat?
Yeah.
Then it did shit.
I know.
I'm just here to support you.
Also, I hate that working out works. I hate it. Every time I do it and I feel better after, I'm like, God damn it. I feel like I've been lied to. It's like, oh, dopamine and serotonin. Look who decided to show up finally. But at this point, I'm like, what if I get too strong?
Oh, my God.
Do you know? What if I accidentally Incredible Hulk myself and then I have to spend way more on clothes because I'm just like bursting out of my sleeves all the time? What if I accidentally become one of those bodybuilders whose like thigh veins are bigger than their penises? That's scary. You have to think about this stuff. In conclusion, I'm just saying working out is horrible. I just wish we could go back to a time when working out was just like a row of fat men, like fat old men, just like strapping a giant belt to their stomachs and just jiggling the calories away. Just like a nice stomach jiggler to just like jiggle those carbs right out. So I hope this inspired you to start your own fitness journey. I'm now a fitness blogger. That's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Larry Owens in the studio after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by Fleur. You might not think about what's actually in the perfume you wear every day, but with Fleur, you don't have to, because they make stunning, non-toxic perfumes and list all of their ingredients online. For luxurious perfume that's all about good, clean fun, try P-H-L-U-R, Fleur. Fleur has so many great scents, you might think it'd be hard to pick the right one, but think again, because you can get to know each of their scents with pictures, words, and even playlists on their site. Then you try them on your own skin and see how it works for you. Every Fleur scent is gender-free because scents don't have gender. Plus, they just introduced body wash and body lotion in the same scents, so you can smell amazing all the time. I've been super into the Sandara scent recently. I especially like spritzing it on after my post-workout shower. It's like every bead of sweat I released is being replaced with notes of forest air.
I'm currently wearing Ciano, and I smell good.
Go to Fleur.com today and use promo code UNHAPPY to get 20% off your first custom Fleur sample set. Pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code UNHAPPY at Fleur.com to get your first 3 Fleur fragrance samples at 20% off. PHLUR.com. My guest complainer today is comedian, writer, musical enthusiast, Larry Owens. He has been described as a multi-hyphenate millennial by Vulture magazine. Also has been on like every comics to watch list. Please welcome to the pod, Larry Owens.
Hi.
Thanks for coming. So we like to get everybody started, our complaining juices flowing, by asking everybody what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves.
Okay, this is very esoteric.
Okay.
But I hate the notion of tact. So I don't hate politeness, I don't hate manners, but I hate being beholden to sort of taking care of someone instead of just telling the truth. I just want us all to just be, in my words, direct.
Yeah.
And I think that it would just improve my relationships with a lot of people.
That is true. Yeah. Sometimes your tact can be impolite
because
you're you're like skirting around the truth to the point where it's like
harmful, right. To the point where it's harmful. And so I'm finding that like I spend so much time taking care of people and like trying not to hurt their feelings where I should have just said what I wanted to right out the gate. And honestly, nothing that I want to say is toxic.
Right. Right. Yeah. Some people take that notion and then like they run with it and they're like, sorry, I'm a bitch.
Yeah, no, we
I'm
have
just being truthful.
We have to employ nuance.
Right.
So I only want this to be for sophisticated, nuanced, non-binary thinking people. Not exactly. That there is polite and then there is rude, I'ma cut your face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I want, you know, something blendy in the middle where it's like, hey, this is how I feel. Got it? And it's like, yeah. Got it. Cool.
I like that. That's a good behavioral one that we don't often see.
I know. And I was like truly racking my brain. I was like, should I bring in Cheetos? But like, I don't have. What are some of your favorite ones? Because I know that mine is bad.
Oh, they're all over the place.
I'm bad at tasks.
They're all over the place. The one that sticks in my brain is someone said Oreos. That it was just upsetting to me because I love Oreos.
And V for Vendetta. Completely. Yeah.
That like cookie for cookies and cream flave is my flave. So
Oreos, they're really catering to people's cream preference. Like there's sure. like there's so many levels of cream that you can get.
They've gone
thick, they have thick so THICC. They have like a Rihanna thick one. Then they have like a Miley Cyrus fake thick one. Then they have like one that's just like the cookie sheets.
It's gone so far beyond just like an equal layer of cream to cookie. Yeah.
Nothing can be equal. Not in 2019.
It's really the cookie of our times.
It's the cookie for the people.
Although yeah, the white part is getting larger and larger.
When you said white, I was triggered.
I know. That's because it's blame Oreos.
I like the term cream. Which is... No!
It is upsetting. It is upsetting. I have my sweat dabber.
Oh, okay. Ooh, ooh, I thought that was a nose... Because I've been nosy this week. Like,
everybody,
it's like, just like,
yeah.
Flammy, weird.
I've also been very nosy. I think it's because, like it's that weird in between temperature outside where it's like
that global warming meltdown. Mm-hmm. You can't predict like, it. Who is she?
Is the heat on? Is the air on? There's just dust everywhere for no reason.
Oh, yeah. And for me, it's really about the heater. So this week, I had to go out and I bought that Vicks humidifier.
Yeah.
And I'm filling it up.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to clean it, and I'm going to get a virus from mold. Yeah, no, truly, I woke up this week with no voice, which, like, it only happens to me once a year, and it's around this time, and it's because I truly use a lot of what they call irritants, which is weed. Yeah. And then I also, like Donna from Parks and Rec, don't drink water.
Right.
So, and then you combine that with, you know, the elements and the heater and just like, it just sucks me dry.
Yeah.
And my body, I'm like such like a go, 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 go bitch that my body knows that the only way to make my ass sit the fuck down is to strip me of my voice. And then immediately I turn into a convalescent invalid. I couldn't choose one. My two favorite words, invalid.
Right.
Which is like to me, just like the image of me with a blanket over my legs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, true FDR, just sitting.
Oh, no! New deal.
Blanket cover. Yeah. No, I get that. I went to the doctor last weekend because I was feeling short of breath. I got health insurance.
Brag. Calm down.
And he was like, have you drank this week? And I was like, yeah, every night. Have you smoked? Yes, 2 days ago. It's like, yeah, your system is rebelling.
Well, you know, we get paid in drink tickets, okay?
I know. He literally was like, what do you do? I was like, I'm a writer and comedian. He was like, do you drink? And I was like, I'm a writer and a comedian. I don't know what you want from me.
Hemingway.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, your voice is your job, so you have to take care of it.
Okay.
That Vicks humidifier.
All right. Thank you. Good note. I'll take care of it.
Well, I will say
next week.
I saw you for the first time. I went to Jonathan Van Ness had a show at Caroline's like a couple months ago, a few months ago, and you were on the lineup. That was the first time I saw you, and I fell in love immediately. So funny. If they haven't seen you before, you gotta go out and see you right away. Tell me, like, what was your journey to the stage?
Journey to the stage.
It's a very broad question.
I don't know. I guess I was like a really lonely kid in Baltimore, and just like, you know, they have movie musicals, and they have that like one like musical episode of a TV show,
uh-huh.
And like that would always make my life, and I would want life to be like that.
Yeah.
And then I like really just like set forth and like that nerddom. Then I went to a theater camp in the Catskills. It's like a very famous chic theater camp that a lot of like stars went to. And then I was like, oh wait, these kids are doing it, I can do it. And then so cut to I'm in New York and like working as an actor, and it's like kind of hard to really find a groove as a fat black intellectual, you know, with a queer bent, okay?
Sure. I know.
I can't play Elphaba.
I get it. Not yet.
60% of the roles on Broadway are for thin white women, and I am one in my head. but I am not one in my body.
It's true. Yeah. Tell that to a casting director.
So I would like walk in and I literally would sing like Mr. Snow. And like then I would like start to like troll them and I would be like, great. Like now I'm just singing Bally High. This is really deep cuts for people who did High School Musicals. Like you will know this if you did a High School Musical. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, let me go and get training. Cause then I was like, oh, if you're black and you went to grad school, then you can get a role. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like, they'll
sure.
make some space for you. Okay. Yeah. So I didn't get in. But then I was like, oh, wait, I can study at Steppenwolf in Chicago. So right. I just went to Chicago, studied with their amazing theater company. Mm-hmm. The best thing about Steppenwolf is that the artists of that company are like everything. You know yeah. what I mean? Tracy Letts writes and directs, and mm-hmm. Laurie Metcalf will do stage and screen. And, you know, it's in Chicago, it's improv mecca. So, like, that was built into the curriculum.
Yeah.
And then so I come back to New York with all these skills. I'm like, okay, great. I'm feeling my oats. I'm feeling my pussy. And. Then I discover there's this like amazing scene of like alt queer comics and like femme comics and just like with all these amazing spaces, and they invited me to their space mm-hmm. and I took up a room.
Yeah. Well, you were saying before we started that you've only really been doing comedy like officially for like a year, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
But I mean, you're killing it. So
it was
like,
crazy. Last year was crazy because I would like wake up and be like, I mean, like the Jonathan Van Ness show, like each week it was like the best thing of my life. Yeah. And I was like, wait, okay, cool. I was like I thought that my life would end there.
Right.
Of like closing for Jonathan Van Ness twice in one night.
And it was like great. There was like, I think every comic was a queer comic, which yes. is great. I was just talking with someone. I was like, I feel like there's so many more comics who are doing like musical comedy. And they looked at me like I was insane. And I was like, have you been anywhere? That's what's exciting right now.
Yeah, there is a story in the Times two weeks ago uh-huh. about the community that I'm a part of. And
yeah.
I'm very glad to be included in that. But it sort of explains like the how and the why and the who's and the where. So if this sounds intriguing to you, or even if you doubt it, I would say just like go and just like see something. And I think that there will be something for you. The thing is, it actually is really inclusive.
Yeah.
And you'll see stand up too. Like if you want somebody to come out and yap on a mic, you know, with some like really thoughtful things that they thought about and they're funny, like you will see that too. Like,
right.
I like in this era that I'm a part of to vaudeville, which as we know was a turn of the century American art form. But like, I feel like I'm a part of this renaissance of just like,
yes,
of like egalitarian thing where it's of art, where it's like, you just, if you get on stage and it's good, we're going to clap. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's how I fell into it. It was just like, oh, great. Oh, there's space.
How long were you in Chicago?
It's just for 1 year.
Okay,
you study. It's quick. I called it grad school without the student loans.
Sure.
And without
the
Christmas
breaks. Which is the best kind of grad school.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I came back ready to actually perform and not like, let me go and serve you at the Olive Garden.
Not totally dead inside. You also went to boarding school, is that right?
Okay, yes, with the list, honey. I did. Yes, I went
to our research here.
I went to a Southern boarding school.
Ooh.
Like right outside of DC. I know that's like not really the South, but it is below the Mason-Dixon line. And
it counts.
The kids that came from the South.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was interesting.
How long were you there?
Four years. Like, freshman to senior, baby.
Oh, it was high school.
It was high school.
Interesting. So you like live there full, it's like full board, like full,
yeah,
full
yeah, everyone, it's a 100, it's one of the very few 100% boarding schools, co-ed, and like they had built like an amazing like $13 million art center.
Ooh.
And so like that's why I chose it. I was like, oh wait, I'm gonna live in that building.
Yeah.
And then I did, and then they were angry that I did. They were like, can you study, bitch? They're like, can you, they're like, we did not give you a $40,000 scholarship for you to go and make art. Art does not count. Can you do something real?
What
like
was it?
Like physics?
What was it a school for? It was like a trade school?
No, it was like, it was just, you know, like it prepped people for like, you know, the Ivies and the Southern Ivies,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
What they call the Magnolias.
Your Vanderbilts.
your Dukes. Yeah. So like, no, so they were preparing people to, you know, go on to like Wall Street and, you know, like, oh, I think every girl from my high school owns a jewelry company.
Sure.
Like they all sell diamonds.
That is becoming one of my favorite niches on Instagram, is just like girls from your high school who are like entrepreneurs, but like not really.
Yes. Yes. And making me wonder, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do that?
The best part is when they start getting married and it's just like following their wedding journey is amazing.
I was also a wedding singer.
Yeah?
Very briefly.
How did that go?
Like, all day jobs that I had, like, poorly. Like, I'm built for nothing besides what I'm currently doing. But I, so, there's, like, you have to learn 150 songs to be ready to sing on a dime, and I never learned them. But, like, again, it was, like, the people who could afford to have black slaves at their wedding singing Motown to them, like, they don't know. They, like, they don't care. So I would literally be like, like, I was just like, yeah! Like, just, like, I would put more oomph in it and just like microphone tricks and, you know, shaking this belly, like,
sure,
it's just anything.
At a certain point in the evening of a wedding, it's just like nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah, and the gag is that I, like, so there was like a huge list of songs, and like the songs that like I knew by heart were songs like originally by white artists, but they would never have me sing those. I was like, can I please sing Thinking Out Loud? I know the words to this one. Can I please sing You're Just Too Good to Be True?
How many weddings did you perform in?
I performed in, I think, maybe like 5 or 6.
Okay.
And the last one, I had to leave my cousin's funeral in Baltimore to make it to because they couldn't find a sub. So, like, my cousin, like, as a joke, as a macabre joke, would be like, I want you to sing at my funeral. You better do it. Then he died of opioids. I was like, I'm going to fulfill this. And I had to leave the ceremony midway through to go and, like, sing at this wedding.
I have emotional whiplash from the last 60 seconds.
Baby, baby, baby. We're living the life from Baltimore to New York.
But you did it.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. The amount of trauma that, you know, I can withstand.
Mm-hmm.
Truly Olympic.
Yeah. Man, I'm sure you brought the emotion to that wedding.
Yeah.
You delivered.
Yeah, I didn't really feel emotion until like 3 days ago. Like, yeah. I'm really like working, like, I'm like finding, okay, oh, that's where that was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's where I put that. You know?
Right, yeah. You shake the box a little bit and all those little hidden corners come undone. And
baby, let it spill out.
Oh, it's horrible.
I know. That's the thing, is like, I'm really bad on these comedy podcasts because I am sad.
No, this is unhappy hour.
Okay. Let's check in summer.
Yeah. It's also, it's been like a weird winter. I think I jinxed myself by saying like, I'm not feeling the seasonal depression this year. And then like 2 weeks later, I got slapped
in
the face.
That is the moment. Well, as we know, this is historically the worst Black History Month on record.
It is.
We want it to end. Like, you've never heard this. Like, normally Black people are like, give us 10 more days. Why is it the shortest month? But I think that like at the meeting we had this morning, we were like, cancel it.
Right. Yeah. Thank God it's not a leap year. We get to end on a regular day.
That extra day, truly.
Yeah, it has been a weird month.
It's been crazy. And I want to delete social, but you know what? I'm a nasty Brooklyn comic, so I need you to come to my shows.
That's the fucked up thing, is that the internet gives me no joy, but like, you need it. It's an abusive relationship.
I just need you to come to my shows. And
you tweeted something about how you love musical theater because it's so easy to make fun of, but it also makes you happy as fuck.
Yes.
And that's the truth. It's like, it is good. If you like think about it, it's like, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
But also, you can't like help but feel just pure joy when you see.
Yeah, I think that like, I'm so happy that like Kat Cohen, Peter Smith, and all of these amazing people in my world and community of artists like showed me that like music can live in comedy in a really like authentic and fresh way, because it truly is an equalizer.
Yeah.
It's like for me to walk on stage and begin to just like talking without music about like the intersectionality of my identities or like the trauma that I feel from losing my sister and cousin to opioids. Like that stand-up set is, I think, powerful in a different way if I'm talking, but I can get to the heart of the matter with the music.
Right.
And so I think the music just allows us to get to the heart of the matter, and like that, the resources of the instrumentation just like, it speak to us before the words do.
Yeah.
And then with comedy, if the words are good, then we're laughing. So it's like, I'm able to get both laughs from the lyrics, but also like, I think I can do something emotional with the music. And so to be able to have the economy of storytelling in that way, I think that musical theater storytelling is the best. Like, don't you want to go and see something that has acting, singing, and dance? You get to do all in one. And so being a comedian right now actually is like so funny, because like, I'm kind of reduced to my base parts, you know what I mean? Like, just go out there and serve the vaudeville and then step into the theater world, where we kind of extend that, and then film is like the third layer.
Yeah. I feel like we have like a full dissertation here.
I'm so preachy.
No, you need to like...
I'm a dilettante.
I love it.
This is what a dilettante sounds like.
I love it. I did want to talk about... yeah, I mean, you touched on this, but you haven't seen people like you on the stage or on the screen a whole lot. And like, as so many times when you like take meetings, they ask you who are the people that you, yeah, that like are out there right now that you emulate yourself off of.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that sort of also is like my thing is that like, if I had two of my things, it's okay. You know what I mean? Gay and black, fine. Black and fat, fine. Black and smart, fine. Gay, black, fat, and smart, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you trying to do here? No one can be that person. And yeah. But there are so many people out there who, like, honestly probably even extend, you know, on my intersections, who also might have other things that yeah. marginalize them, who, like, who aren't seen. So it's like, I feel passe. Like, I feel like I'm over myself. Like, I want to be done, Larry. Like, I want to just, like, have a body of work. So it's like, great, look, we proved it. It exists.
Yeah.
And then just, like, have these other, like, exciting people who, like, you know, will probably be better at this podcast.
No. I do like asking comics just to relive their worst moments on stage. Is there one moment where you're like, oh, my God, I will never live that down?
Oh, my God. Honestly, like, so 2 weeks ago, like...
It's fresh. Like I love it.
Like,
it's fresh.
That piece, the New York Times piece came out, and obviously, like, people were, like, using that in my intros,
uh-huh.
and, like, so they were gassing it up and heavy, and I did my first song, it was fine, and then I did my second song, it was the demo track. So to make my songs, I will like record on voice notes on uh-huh. my iPhone, just like sing into it like hit up a ka ka ka. And then my producer will like make a track and then put my voice over the track.
Right.
So what it played was my voice over the track. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And what's notable about that session of tracks that I sent over was that I was so sick.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, that's not going to stop me from meeting this deadline. It's like no one cares what the demo sounds like, Larry. So it truly was like sandpaper vocals. But we live, we survive. Yeah. The good thing about comedy is that it happens in the moment.
Exactly. You're also doing, or you did your first... feature film?
Yes. I did a little indie. I did an uh-huh. indie movie.
With Matthew Broderick?
I had a couple scenes with Matthew Broderick.
Uh-huh.
Most of them on the cutting room floor, but you know what? You know, I'm in the trailer.
They're there.
I'm in the trailer.
Nice.
And I got a couple laughs at the screening, you know.
What is the movie?
The movie, it's like a non-traditional buddy comedy. There's uh-huh. a Hasidic Jewish cantor. So he's like the singing, you know, element of the synagogue. His wife dies, and in the Jewish faith, it's like 1 week. The
right.
whole mourning process is 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And the character has questions about what happens
right.
after. And so he seeks out a science teacher, Matthew Broderick, to explain sort of the process, the literal process of what happens to the body. It's beautiful and like darkly funny.
Uh-huh.
Like the humor in it is so, it whispers at you. You
okay.
know what I mean? But like it's so great. It's directed by Sean Snyder. Beautiful, beautiful film. If you can catch it, I think it's streaming some places, and I think it's in limited release actually in New York. And just check it out. The movie is called To Dust, as in ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Thank you.
Wait, who are you in the movie?
I play Stanley. So I played like the one kid in Matthew Broderick's class who like cares about science. So in my cutscenes, I was like taking him to task and like sort of like who's on first, like
yeah.
entropy. Like that was like sort of like the whole gig. And then there was like an office hour scene, mm-hmm. you know, that's trimmed down. But you know, I'm just like, what's going on? You know, this rabbi comes into the community college and I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah. No, I see it.
Oh
it's
my
in
God.
Front of me. The vision
yes.
is alive.
You know what? I booked.
I booked.
I have another film that's going to be coming out this year. It's called The Last Fairy.
Uh-huh.
When I shot it, it was called The Untitled Fire. Wait, what was it? Untitled Fire Island Thriller, which like I thought should have been the title. I went to Fire Island like around like February or March, so it was freezing, and
uh-huh.
we were like on the beach shooting. Like I had no idea that like, oh wait, I'm in a movie about an island, like that, like I'll be on the beach in shorts
yeah.
like in March. And Yeah, so I'm like the comedic. I do a lot of just true fag work.
Why not?
But it's, you know what? In a movie full of us, I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's less complicated than being like, oh, okay, I'm the one.
Right.
I'm the one. And you want me to be how pink?
I'm excited for both of those.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I think that if you're in England, I think we just got into a festival, The Last Fairy. So go and check it out.
All right.
We'll keep everyone tuned. Just follow me on my socials.
I want to play. We go through everyone's tweets, who is a guest on this podcast.
No!
And find stuff that you've expressed your dislike or hatred for.
Oh my God, Twitter is my vitriol machine.
Yeah, well that's perfect. some people we have to really like mine for it.
Because they're nice and sweet.
You are like, we got them all right.
No!
Sweet, call this...
No!
We call this elaborate, and we want you to elaborate on the things that you hate, specifically some of your musical opinions.
Okay.
just in general, theater seats that are too small. Your tweet was, who as a thick person has been shamed by the size of a Broadway seat? Me!
Oh my God!
It is so...
The Walter Kerr.
Every theater I've ever been in.
It's like the Walter Kerr. That is the one.
Every theater I've ever been in, I'm like, this theater hates fat people. It's truly appalling.
They were built, most of the theaters were built before we had high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
So the bodies just, they were designed for different bodies.
Right. Before we knew that like we needed calcium and that like.
Before, honestly, we were driving ourselves everywhere.
Yeah. Now my legs don't.
Oh, and even the legs. I cannot imagine a tall person watching Angels in America.
Oh no.
In the theater.
I did and it was horrible.
Are you over 6 foot?
Yeah, I'm 6'3", 6'2".
Okay,
6'3".
Don't stop saying it, I'll jump you.
This tweet that I don't, you're just going to have to explain it. My kink is actresses performing Broadway musicals with hair ties around their wrists.
Oh my God! The hair ties.
I don't know this.
It happens all the time. And honestly, Juilliard actresses. So the two that are crystallized in my brain are Audra McDonald, Porgy and Bess. Hair tie.
Why? What is that? It's
you're just like you're getting ready. You're in your dressing room, like blah blah blah, like, and you have a hair tie around your wrist.
And then
Philippa Sue Hamilton hair tie, which famously she did not wear a wig in Hamilton, and so she actually wore a hair tie in the show, and so she had one on her wrist, and that's my eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It took you out of it.
it is my kink, and it lets me know they're human. But also, it's just like. Let me know they do it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they do a show every day. It's like, it's fine, you know? But it's, like, so funny to me.
I love that. Taylor Swift can't sing, can't dance, but is white, so let's put her in a musical. Is she going to be in a musical?
Regarding Cats.
No.
Yes.
Is she in Cats, the movie?
The latest intel is that Taylor Swift is in Cats, the musical. We're getting a yes from producer. Yes, she's in Cats. And so, like to be in a musical, traditionally, you must be able to sing or dance probably at the same time. And really all I've seen this bitch do is, like, walk across the stage and toothpick legs.
Right, yeah.
When she came out as liberal yesterday, keep it.
Like, one day before the election.
Not even. Just, like, literally, like, she waited till yesterday, like, to be like, hey, I know I pandered to racists, but maybe I'm not one. And it's oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not about to defend her. I don't really care.
Honestly, but now we have better like, country girls. We have...
Yeah, Kacey Musgraves.
We have Kacey and Maggie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the end of list.
I truly... But great. Like, I feel satiated.
Exactly. Your favorite Broadway star is a white girl whose parents voted for Trump.
Okay. My vendetta. Okay, so yes, every woman in my life is a white woman. So obviously I love them dearly. But I must talk about the double standard about my employment. Okay, what I mean? So it's like the systems that allow these women to continually be employed and thrive. And honestly, just like go to Equinox. Like, I want that same system. I want that same system. Yeah. All like, it's like, they don't have to be. They don't have have to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the roles can be cast as anything.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, truly, unless the story is explicitly about race, unless we're doing Ragtime, A Raisin in the Sun, like, it does not matter.
Yeah.
But yet we insist, there's this prevalent idea that, like, that is the first choice, that is the blank slate, that is the tabula rasa.
Yeah.
So I'm just letting people know that these girls come from Ohio, that they kiki and that they hug the gay boys in the ensemble. But, like, when their dad, who has the money, like, goes to vote, like, she's not going to take him to task.
Yeah.
For that power.
Right.
So she has a lot of privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you all to know that. When you see these girls and their heels and then the singing, and it's just like, they voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Savage. Okay. Yes. Okay. Savage. I knew we were going to get to some Savage. Here we are.
No, honestly, these are all on theme. I guess we could end on that one.
Why? Because it gets more Savage. I mean, like...
Or maybe you could answer this own question. We can end on this one. If I was white, what roles do you think I would have played on Broadway?
Oh.
What is your, like, if you could play any role on Broadway? Broadway. What role would you play?
I feel like my goals, like, shift every day. I think, obviously, like, there's a bunch in the Sondheim canon that, like, I would want to do, like, age appropriate or not.
Sure.
So, like, I would, like, you know, any of the male roles in Into the Woods, like, I feel like I could, like, really do something with.
Yeah.
And maybe even The Weech, you know, but, like, that's, yes, like, that's gay minstrelsy. But, like, so, like, we have to wait until later career to hit that.
Right.
And, like, honestly, so, like, the last thing that I've crystallized myself around, and in just terms of, like, oh, yeah, this is a job that someone has and that, like, someone can get, like, any day, is, like, there's a role, Augie in Waitress. Like, uh-huh. I don't want it, but, like, what that character does is, like, it's, like, a funny guy, walks on, sings a couple songs, like, is truly, like, charming for the audience. And I was like, oh, wait, I've never even had an audition for that role.
Mm-hmm.
And that just feels like something that is, like, an oversight. Like, I feel like it's one of those cultural things where it's, like, because the mold for this role is, you know, a short, endearing white person, I'm out of the conversation completely. And
right.
It's like, oh, wait, but that's just a show about people and relationships in America.
Yeah.
And, like, baking pies. Like, right. You know, so, like, that's an easy one, just
yeah,
to say, that, like, just currently playing.
Well, I see it. I believe in it.
Oh, no, I have my own path. I have my own thing. We're leaving, like, Broadway Broadway is there, and it will always exist.
Yeah.
The gag is that, like, I write the shows now.
Yeah.
It's, like, through this whole new exciting life that
That's
I'm
right. That's right.
And I had no idea. I never could have predicted that I would, like, be here. But I'm happy and it's so fun.
Oh, I'm so glad. Before we let you go, where can people find you and your work?
Oh, my God. You can follow me on all platforms at Larry Owens Live.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a regular show in New York, right? Decolonize
Your
Mind.
Yeah, it's just the first Wednesday of every month at Union Hall.
Okay.
Decolonize Your Mind with me and Karen Chi. It's a great show.
Amazing. Well, I am so excited to see all of the stuff that you do next. It was such a pleasure to meet you. And we'll have to have you back sometime.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good shit that helps all the bad shit go down easier. Starting with the shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
I just started Broadchurch. Have you seen Broadchurch?
Yeah,
you have, right?
I feel like I talked about it.
You did, yeah. So I just started it. I watched the first episode with Alex, my boyfriend.
With Academy Award winner Olivia Colman.
Yes. And I love it so far. I'm only one episode in, but that's what I started, and I'm excited to be on this journey.
Yeah, I feel like I talked about it because it's like a British crime drama about a dead little boy.
Love it.
Just, you know, it's some uplifting stuff. Mm-hmm. But I just love Olivia Colman.
Everything. I could watch her. I do watch her in everything. What about you? What are you watching?
I hadn't watched the Two Dope Queens specials on HBO.
I haven't seen them.
And I finally watched all of them and I love them.
Yeah.
I think it's such a like great, like, variety show. I feel like nobody, has, like, cracked how to, like, recreate a, like, old style variety show with interviews and stand-ups and all of this fun stuff. And they are killing it. I mean, they're like one of the biggest podcasts. So what else? Oh, the other one that I forgot to mention last week was a new show on Comedy Central. I mean, it's been out for a handful of weeks now called The Other Two.
I know. I need to watch it. Not yet. I haven't seen it yet.
The basic description is that it's basically if like teen Justin Bieber had two older siblings, and it's about their stories. So it's this kid who like goes viral with some like teen bopper song, and his two older siblings are like aspiring actors who want to be famous and now have to like live in their brother's shadow. But they're like ridiculous, and it's very funny.
Cool, I'll watch it.
Rousing endorsement. what is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser has to do with my recent trip to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you typically have celebrity sightings, but I had the best one I've ever had. I should also say that I was getting ice cream with my friend Gabrielle, and she and I have a Riverdale group chat, both text and on Instagram DMs. We saw Veronica and Reggie eating lunch together. It was incredible.
I don't know who either of them are.
Veronica is one of the main people. Reggie is becoming more of a character. It's Camila Mendes and Charles Melton. They are like, their characters have started to become in a relationship in this most recent season. In real life, they are also in a relationship. Charles Melton was also in a recent Ariana Grande video.
Right, right, right.
That super hot guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw them in real life. They were beautiful. And we were, yeah, it was very exciting and it made me really happy.
So they were getting ice cream.
They were sitting outside having lunch.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
And like, at first I thought it was them, but then someone else stopped and asked to take a picture of them. Not to take a picture with them. Just asked to take a picture of them. And I was like, okay, it's definitely them.
Someone did that to me recently at a restaurant. And it was, they were sitting at the table next. This is now just about me.
Of course, it always is. It always ends up being.
When they have a podcast, they can talk about themselves. It was the table next to us, and we stood up and they were like, oh, you're Matt. Can we get a picture? And I was like, sure. And this woman just stayed seated and took like an up chin photo of me from her seat. Like, you want to like stand and take a picture so you're not sharing this photo of my like fucking gullet? Anyway,
that was a very exciting moment for me. It made my week. Also, Dr. Game Show, which has been a previous chaser of mine, is coming back, and I'm so excited about it. And one day, by God, we will be on that show.
I do absolutely love, this is one thing that brings me joy.
Yeah, what's your chaser?
When people are new to Unhappy Hour and they go back and listen to all of the episodes and then they get to the episode with Joe Firestone and they're like, what the fuck am I listening to? And I think, I feel like what I should clarify after the fact that I love Joe Firestone.
I love her.
I am baffled by her, but I was in love with that interview.
Whatever on again.
Yeah, I think everybody, I've seen some people be like, wow, I can't believe like she made you feel uncomfortable, or like yeah. They think that I was like not
a
consenting
part of it.
Yeah, I was like, we were in on it.
Yeah.
But I still am confused and obsessed. That is not my full chaser, though. My chaser this week, I've had some musical chasers recently, mm-hmm. but I've been very into Kacey Musgraves lately.
I'm really happy for you. Welcome aboard.
I know. I do
We've
feel like
been here.
A fair weather fan. I know. She was in New York, and I didn't realize she was in New York until day she was in New York. So I couldn't like work my magic and get in.
I remember because I was very excited because she was opening for Harry Styles when we went to that concert, and I was so excited, and you were like, whatever, you're excited about the opener.
I still
but
like,
you were,
I like
you were into it. You
I
were
liked
into
her,
it
yeah,
happened.
And I don't, but I don't think I like fully appreciated
it
hadn't
unlocked
her.
Unlocked that part of you that is now unlocked,
right?
You know,
I know. I regret not like being fully in it then, because she was like we were backstage, as we've mentioned multiple times,
and we will for the rest
Harry
of our
Styles
lives.
And she was back there too, but I feel like we didn't really get to interact with her.
No,
but now I'm like trying. I'm trying.
So She'll, hard.
I'm like my campaign to go to Chicago at the end of March to see her when she's there is underway.
Yep.
And I'm
stay tuned, folks.
Secreting it into action. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna make it happen.
Hell yeah, you are. We are.
I think initially I resisted because she is a little too country, but I'm like I'm embracing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a little yeehaw in you.
And that's it. Thanks for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Bellaside. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our editors are Dina Kleiner and Josh Gwynn. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at FinkelBarryPie. That's
FinkelBarryPie.
You can worship me at Matt Bellassai. That's
MattBellassai. Someone on Twitter recently was like, I had to look up so many combinations of your names in order to finally find your handle. So thank you for pointing that out. And you're welcome, everybody.
Well, you can also follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter. And if you know how to spell that, then you can look at who we're following and you can find us
easier that way.
And also you'll get all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. So ho your own row and mind your own. Nope, I fucked it up.